Hi, Mark. This is Sid.
Hello, Sid.
Hey, I have a question. Me and my wife have been separated for 2 months now, and I was fairly certain when she moved out that she wasn't having an affair, but now it seems like she is. So my question is, should I ask her about it or not?
No, you should not ask her about it. There's nothing good that's going to come out of that conversation. Think about it. Right? Just sort of play it through in your own head. What are the possibilities? Let's not go through all of them, but let me just go through quickly some of the most obvious ones. So the most likely scenario is that she lies to you. I mean, if she is having an affair and she hasn't told you, so she is lying to you. If you confront her, she'll probably continue to lie to you. Now, when we start lying to somebody right to their face, what does that do to the relationship? It introduces a whole new level of betrayal and lack of trust. In addition to that, how do we feel in the presence of somebody we're lying to? We feel horrible, mostly about ourselves. And so we avoid being in that person's presence, avoid being in that person's company. We really run to be in the presence of people that, you know, when we're in their presence, we feel good being around them. So if she's lying to you, she's not going to feel good being around you, and it's not a good thing. Another possibility is that she is honest with you. Where's that going to go? That's not going to be good either. In some ways, that's actually worse. Why? So listen carefully for those of you that are dealing with infidelity. This is an interesting dynamic. Let me let you in on the psychology of an adulterer. The adulterer always lies initially. Why? Because they know what they're doing is wrong. Just think about your own life. Even if you have to go back to your childhood, when do you lie? We lie. We're secretive. We hide things. We go underground when we don't want to get caught, when we know what we're doing is wrong. But at the same time that the adulterer is lying because they know what they're doing is wrong, they're also working very hard to try to justify in their mind why what they're doing is not wrong. Right? Do you see that? In other words, the adulterer, in 99.9% of the cases, in their mind, they're not having some fun fling that's going to end next week. In their mind, they met their soulmate. In their mind, they're going to spend the rest of their life with this person, and they've never felt this way before. Now, of course, let me take a quick tangent here, an important tangent, but let me take a tangent. That's ridiculous. I mean, despite the fact that your spouse is all excited and passionate and thinks they met their soulmate and never felt this way before, the affair will end. It always does. There are relationships that are built on deceit and immorality, and things that are planted in dirty soil don't grow well. And then, of course, your spouse doesn't know that. I mean, they're working very hard to justify what they're doing. When I speak to the adulterer, they've got this fantastic, elaborate explanation about how, you know, they went to a Catholic school and this is really not like them. They've never done this before, but, you know, this is different. And I'll tell you, this is really something special. And if I refer to her as mistress or the mister, they'll say, well, mistress, I don't have a mistress. What are you talking about? What do you mean you don't have a mistress? I thought you were having an affair. No, it's not an affair. My wife and I, my husband and I, we're divorced. You're divorced? What are you talking about? I just spoke to your wife last week. Well, emotionally, we're divorced. I mean, really, I've been out of the marriage for a couple of years. I mean, it's like, do you understand what I'm saying? They're working so hard to try to create this justification. They even go so far as to redefine words like marriage and mistress and affair. Having an affair is like being on drugs, really. And there's actually been scientific experiments that have been done to demonstrate that what goes on in the mind of a person who's having an affair is comparable to what goes on in the mind of a person who is on drugs. Cocaine specifically was the research. And so a person that's having an affair has lost their ability to exercise good judgment. They have no objectivity, and they're essentially being bribed by this affair. But despite the fact that they think they found their soulmate and they're going to spend the rest of their life together, they're not. The affair will end. I mean, there are millions and millions of people. Most experts feel that at some point in 50% of marriages, there is infidelity. And again, 99.9% of these people are not having some fling that's going to end next week. Most of these people think that they met their soulmate. So you understand that's millions and millions and millions of situations, right? Half the couples you see have experienced this at some point, and they all think they met their soulmate. So let me ask you this. Here comes the punchline. Where are all these marriages? In other words, where are all these couples? Where are all these affairs that blossomed into a happy family that lived happily ever after? Do you know anybody like that? Anybody? I don't. Not one person. Now, every once in a while, there's somebody on the call who says, yeah, my second uncle, cousin, or whatever, they actually married their sister. Okay, I'm not going to say there's not some exceptions. But given the quantity of people that have had this experience and are making this claim, it's ridiculously small. The affair, it just dies. It ends. And this is really, really important if you're dealing with infidelity, because you have to appreciate that the fact that your spouse is having an affair is having a dramatic impact on your spouse's perception of you and the future of the marriage. Once again, it's like being on drugs. If they were on drugs, you wouldn't really rely on their analysis, on their sort of judgment and decision-making. It wouldn't come across as credible to you because this person's coked up. So too with an affair. Their feelings, their thoughts, their decisions, they're all happening through the lens of this affair. And that's why whenever anybody's dealing with infidelity, I see that as a situation that has hope. Why? Because those glasses, that lens is going to come off. And when that lens does come off, your spouse will see you and the situation and the marriage, and for that matter, themselves, in a completely different light. There is going to be a dramatic change in your situation if you're dealing with infidelity. Here's the key. You've got to hang in there long enough to allow their relationship to run its natural course. Once that happens, and that affair is out of the way, and those glasses come off. In other words, your spouse comes off of that drug, then your situation will look completely different to you and to them. That was a long tangent. I don't even know if you remembered where I was, so let me remind you and get back to it. We were talking about lying, confronting your spouse about the affair. And one possibility is they lie, and then I was about to explain the second possibility, which is that they tell you the truth, and I was about to explain why that's even worse. So that's worse because initially the adulterer lies because they know what they're doing is wrong. But as I explained, they're also working very hard to justify what it is they're doing, and they don't want to feel that it's wrong. They want to feel that this is right because in their heart it feels so right. And so then they come to this point often where they decide, you know, I'm not going to lie about this anymore. I'm going to be out about it. I'm going to be open about it. I'm going to be honest about my affair. I can't help but laugh when I hear that. I mean, if you're going to have an affair, why grow a conscience at that point? You might as well lie about it. But okay, they decided that despite the fact they're having an affair, they feel some sense of moral duty. It's really comical to be honest about it. And so what they try to do is they try then to talk to you in an open way about the affair. Very often, by the way, they'll also try to talk to other people about the relationship, maybe sometimes even introduce the mistress or the mister to kids, God forbid, or to friends or family, once again, the intent is to be open and honest, because if I'm not hiding it, if I'm not being secretive, if I'm not lying, then it doesn't feel wrong. You understand that the more they're open about it, the less it feels wrong, the more it feels like, you know, this is a normal relationship, which is why if your spouse tries to speak to you about their affair, the other man, the other woman, the relationship, if they even try to breathe a syllable that you know is going in that direction, you should cut them off. It's one of the few times that I don't want you to allow your spouse to speak to you. You should basically cut them off, tell them that the topic makes you nauseous, makes you sick, and that they should not even breathe a syllable of his or her name in your presence, that they should be more discreet. One husband actually said to their wife, who was employing this advice of mine, "What are you telling me? You want me to lie to you about this?" And my response to her when she told me this story was, "You did great." Because, yes, that is exactly it. I want him to lie to you about it. Why? Because if he's lying to you about it, it's a constant reminder that it's wrong. And as long as he's being reminded that it's wrong, it will tug on his conscience, and it will interfere with that relationship and that whole direction in his life. So that's the other possible scenario, is that you actually open the door by asking for them to be honest, which helps them feel more comfortable about the whole thing. I don't want them to feel comfortable about it. I want them to be secretive. I want them to hide it. I want them to lie about it. Because as long as they're doing that, then it won't sit right with them. And by the way, I want to just offer an analogy here. Before I do, let me say that I'm not making any moral commentary or social commentary or political commentary with this analogy. If anybody wants to know my moral, social, or political feelings about the topic, I might discuss it with you privately, but it's really not relevant. The analogy, however, is, I think, very educationally helpful and very relevant. You know, it used to be that if a person was gay, homosexual, that nobody knew about it. I mean, this was many years ago already, but, you know, it used to be that people led covert lives underground, and they didn't tell anybody. And then, I don't know, when was it, in the 70s or 80s? I don't know, I'm not a historian. But at some point, there was this huge movement in the gay community for everybody to come out of the closet. Now, why was that? Why was it so important to the gay community that they be able to come out of the closet and lead these openly homosexual lives? It's because by remaining in the closet, hiding it, lying about it, being secretive, it was a constant sense that what I'm doing is shameful and wrong. And they don't want to feel that it's wrong. And so there was this movement, conspiracy almost, to, you know, sort of come out. Now, I was blown away by this. I mean, my kids don't go to these kinds of schools. But I understand now that in, you know, public schools, even in private schools, high school kids are taking their homosexual partners to the prom. I mean, I couldn't believe that. But anyway, the point is that you see that what I was describing to you here, I wanted to let you in on the psychology or part of the psychology of an adulterer. And that analogy that I just offered gives you some further insight, into that psychology and what goes on. So the bottom line, Sid, is don't ask, because no matter what she answers, it's not going to move your situation in the right direction. Just once again, anybody who's dealing with infidelity, it's just crucial to hang in there long enough to allow their relationship to run its natural course. It will, and when that relationship does die, your situation will be totally different. Oh, by the way, one other really important point, and I know I'm spending a lot of time on Sid's question, but I'm doing it because I know that it also is not just Sid's question, but it's so many people's questions. God forbid you should misunderstand what I'm saying and think that what I'm saying is that if your spouse is having an affair, you just have to sit back on your heels and wait till the affair is over. I did not say that. It's true. Endurance and patience is crucial. You do have to hang in there long enough to allow their relationship to run its natural course. But be careful not to just be sitting back on your heels and doing nothing while you're waiting for it to end. Because your spouse is having an affair, not because they fell in love with somebody else. It's because they fell out of love with you. In other words, affairs don't happen in a vacuum. They happen in the context of a broken marriage. And you, as well as them, contributed to that broken marriage. And so, yeah, the affair will end. But if you do nothing between now and the time that it does, when that affair ends, they'll look back on you and on your marriage. They'll see nothing different than they did when they started the affair. And yeah, the affair will end, but your marriage will end too. Instead, it's crucial that during the affair, you be reaching out to your spouse, taking a tremendous amount of initiative to employ the principles and practices that I'm teaching and to really fix yourself. And I'm telling you, the people that are successful reconciling their marriage despite an affair are the people that are doing the work during the affair. And I know that's hard. It's very hard. You're getting rejected time and time and again. Your efforts are not being reciprocated. It's an ego-crushing experience. But, well, you know, that discussion is for another time about how to deal with those feelings. Right now, let's just focus on what works. And I'm just telling you from experience that it's the people who do that work, who take those initiatives, that are successful. Because when the affair ends, even though during the affair your spouse will reject you, they'll try to tell you to stop, they'll tell you you're pushing them further away, they'll tell you you're making things worse, they'll tell you whatever they have to try to tell you to get you to stop because they don't want you to interfere with the affair. But don't stop. Because even though while the affair is going on, they'll view your efforts as annoying, once the affair ends, they'll look back on your efforts, and in retrospect, they will view it in a completely different light. It will result in them having a different view of you, and most importantly, they'll begin to recognize that there is a potential for your marriage that they did not previously see. And very often, that's the turning point.